This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Jose, a gunman who worked with others at a transit facility, opened fire, killing 8 altogether and critically wounding another before he killed himself as law enforcement was closing in. So you know that that's going to ignite more gun conversation already. The president has called for action on guns in the wake of the San Jose shooting. Plus, you've got mayhem in the air, in a sense, at least on some flights. Luckily, as I flew maybe, a month ago, everybody was kind and courteous and masked up and no problems. But there have been arguments about the mask. And there's a flight attendant, rather, that lost 2 teeth after a fight broke out with a passenger. What is going on? Kate Delaney is my name. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about the numbers. Yes, so we can count. And at the tail end of the hour, a couple of great conversations with 2 different authors who share some interesting perspectives. Had a lot of fun with that as we've gotten to take you around the world, so to speak. And it's always interesting when we talk here on the show with people from Australia, the UK, Scotland, sometimes other European countries like Italy or France. And you know, the first question they ask is, gosh, how's everyone doing in America? We really think about what's happening in America, especially when we were at the height of all the reporting of numbers and shortages of beds and that kind of thing. And now we're seeing that the hot spot, if you will, is, of course, India. And India also gets hit with a cyclone in one area that has left way too many people homeless on the East Coast, tens of thousands of people homeless, where they were already living under some pretty poor conditions, and now they don't even have any kind of a roof over their head. Let's talk about San Jose. How can we not? You know, killing 8 of your coworkers, so enraged, so angry over something. We don't know what really was the motivation. Don't know if there was any kind of a manifesto left, etc. But the gunman was an employee of the Valley Transportation Authority. That's what they call it in San Jose, the VTA. And he's dead because as soon as everybody closed in, he took himself out of the game. Sam Cassidy was his name. And the victims and the other colleagues knew him well. And clearly, they say they could tell that. The mayor said that this guy was no stranger to the people that he shot. And the age ranges of the people, and you think of the families who are devastated this weekend coming up with goodbyes and tributes to people they never expected to lose this way, 29 to 63 years old. There was an interview that a Bay Area newspaper did with his ex-wife, with Cassidy's ex-wife, and she said he had 2 sides. He was a great guy when he was in a good mood. When he was mad, he was scary. He was mad. And he went there with a purpose. He had guns. The specifics, again, we don't know. But because he was firing, and you had San Jose police officers that ran into the building as he was shooting, probably lots of lives were saved because there were plenty of other people on the premises and those that were coming in. And one person still is listed as in critical condition now at this point. You know, what's the first thing you ask yourself? Oh, my gosh, you're working with somebody. Was there red flags? Was there anything that anybody could have seen that would have made you worry that this could happen? And this happened at 6:30 in the morning, just after 6:30 in the morning. That's when all the 911 calls started to pour in, that there were shots being fired near a VTA control center. And that's an area that stores the light rail trains, and a maintenance yard is over there that you can see from the street when you drive by it. And this is the Valley Transportation Authority is used a lot in San Jose, taking you north toward, you know, San Francisco and those other areas that they call the peninsula. Just a horrible, terrible tragedy. I mean, the VTA is the public service, the public transportation service. They've got buses and light rail. That's what they are in charge of. You've got about 2,000 people who work there. 2,000 people. Wow. Just awful and a terrible way to have to open up this show, but it's shocking and it's way too many people. I mentioned that in the sky we're hearing about some of the chaos, there's more fines, and of course there's lots and lots of flights. But when you hear something that's outrageous, just spectacular, you can't believe it, like would you think a flight attendant would lose two teeth getting in an argument with a passenger? And I would think the unions would be concerned for the people that they represent, like the flight attendants. And now we live in the world where you have, you know, cell phones. And it's videoed. And it was videoed. In this case, it was about a mask. And it was about, you know, wearing a mask, settling down. And, oh, boy, looking at how the punches were thrown is, frankly, I saw the video. It was scary to see what some of these flight attendants have to deal with. You know, with more people returning to flying, returning to the skies, you know, complying with the request to have a safe flight, I think, is the basics, right? But all of a sudden there's this aggression and assaults because they have ticked up. I mean, I know there's that tendency to highlight the negative, but I think when you talk about clearly almost 500 passenger misconduct incidents, not all of them as egregious as somebody losing two teeth trying to stop what was happening. But I think that's pretty significant, you know, that there's that much. And that, by the way, was on Southwest Airlines. And that was between April 8th and the 15th. That many. So, of course, the union is going to react. I mean, it's unprecedented. That's intolerable. That to have all that aggression, and they can't, like, that's their job, is to not allow that to go on. But now you have this passenger arrested on suspicion of felony battery, causing injury after hitting the flight attendant during the flight from Sacramento to San Diego. So the paramedics took the flight attendant to a San Diego hospital for treatment. Hey, honey, I can't make it home tonight, not because I'm staying overnight because of weather, but my two front teeth were knocked out by a passenger. Oh, wow. I think the other thing that has fascinated many of us is what's next. And what's next is numbers. How many people have been vaccinated? How many people haven't been vaccinated? What's happening with this January 6th commission? Is there going to be one? Talking about it when we talk about the numbers on We Can Count.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Although this is a life well lived, John Warner, the senator from Virginia, he was all about the military, wasn't he? I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with when it came to the military. He helped plan the 1976 bicentennial celebrations. He played a big role in military affairs in general, and he was a guy who had respect on all sides of the aisle. Imagine that. He built consensus for real. He died May 24th at his home in Alexandria, Virginia. He was 94 years old. 94 years old. Heart ailment, but again, a life well lived. He was a former Secretary of the Navy. And at one point, when he still was in the middle of his career, he was one of only a few World War II veterans, you know, people that served, guys who served, that was there in the Senate. And he would also be known for his six-year marriage to someone rather famous, a movie star, Elizabeth Taylor. He's married to Elizabeth Taylor. And he sponsored some interesting legislation in his day. And he absolutely knew how to, if you look at what he tried to work on and what he passed and, you know, what he helped get passed, et cetera, you look at the bipartisan support. And so bravo for that, because it's very hard to find these days. January 6th commission, speaking of that, is a long shot for this to happen in the Senate. Even though Susan Collins from Maine is pitching her last-ditch compromise, because she's cooked one up, she says. 35 House Republicans backed the bill last week, but in the Senate, the proposal is really facing super long odds. I think incredibly doubtful. If you look at the vocal majority of the Senate, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell arguing that Congress is doing enough already to seek that accountability for what happened on January 6th. And that's, you know, so that's happening. So why do we have to do that? And those that are willing to entertain voting for the commission are saying that they're concerned about a few things, including what's this investigation going to look like? And would the findings be made public before 2022? Now, why would they care about 2022? Midterm election. And Republicans have a shot in, if you look at certain states, at returning to power in the Senate and the House. And how damaging could what happened on January 6th be? I don't think it passes. I don't think that there is going to be a commission that was similar to the 9/11 commission. Only two Republicans, Senator Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, have said that they're going to back a commission. You know, regardless of what it looks like, they say they would do that. Senator Richard Shelby from Alabama says we'll have to see. We'll have to weigh the whole thing. I'm against the bill in the present form. So that's the thought. Is there going to be something that changes that would evoke a differing consensus, and there would be 10 Republicans that would vote in favor of the commission thing? So I'm saying, yeah, I don't think so. House was a different story. Not here. I cannot imagine that. Cannot imagine that. All right, vaccines. To vax or not? I mean, we're kind of over, I think, flat out just the basic argument of the vaccination. The president had markers in place of what he wanted to see, how many people would be vaccinated in X amount of months, and there's a question as to how many ultimately will be vaccinated, right? But we're seeing that over half of Americans are, 165.1 million. So that's right there, 12 and older. And it's, you know, 50% is right on that cusp of the total population. So there you go with the half. What's interesting is the whole idea of you're vaccinated, I'm not, is it fair for a company to demand that? Nobody said that other than flights and in some other cases, but not big corporations saying that you have to be vaccinated before you're on site. There have been universities that have said that. And there are complaints that are being thrown against some of these coronavirus vaccine mandates. Sheriff's deputy in North Carolina read a story today in the Washington Post. Nursing home employees in Wisconsin, students at the largest university in New Jersey, and that would be Rutgers, that Rutgers is saying you're not welcome to be on campus moving about and participating in clubs if you're not vaccinated. So it's starting to swell, and people are getting lawyers to sue for their right to be able to be unvaccinated and be on the Rutgers campus, for example, or to be a deputy in North Carolina in this particular county. And I think we're going to see more of that because you still have a big dispute. And then there's the question of, which is a whole nother conversation, about booster shots and what's that going to require, right? Yeah. But look for that. Look for more. There's been at least, by my count and what I can tell, and probably more than that, more than a dozen lawsuits have been filed so far. A dozen lawsuits. And I think that ticks up. I think we'll see probably more lawsuits as a result. This is a shocker to me. ExxonMobil and Chevron lost some shareholder votes as Shell, as a Dutch court ordered Shell to cut emissions a lot faster. So Big Oil really took a big bump on Wednesday. They voted to install the shareholders, at least two new independent directors to the company's board. So it was a defeat of the chief executive, Darren Woods. And why do you care about these names and the shareholders? Because of what's happening, they're struggling over how to deal with climate change, is what they're saying. In Europe, a Dutch court ordered Royal Dutch Shell, considered one of the most forward-thinking companies in the industry, to make deeper-than-planned cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. And they are one of, like I said, for lack of a better way to describe it, more forward-thinking companies. In the United States, Chevron lost a shareholder vote directing the company to take into account its customers' emissions when planning reductions. So this is big. And what does it mean, this balloting at ExxonMobil? It sends a signal, which is what Fred Krupp, the president of the Environmental Defense Fund, is saying anyway from his perspective, that it sends an unmistakable signal that climate action is a financial imperative and leading investors know it. Because think about shareholders and the money side of it, and they're demanding change. They're demanding change because they have the votes. Wow. Even at apparently at the meeting, they had a one-hour recess to reflect on these negotiations over the votes. I think they were surprised, maybe, at the way it was going, because that's something that doesn't normally happen. And you think about it. You think about the votes being cast and who had the sway. And they had enough sway that they cleared that room and then went back and discussed it again, and then look what happened. And investors are the ones that are looking at it. So something is stirring. Chevron investors also on Wednesday cast 61%, here's a number for you, in favor of a proposal asking the oil major to cut its total greenhouse gas emissions, including, like I mentioned before, customers' emissions. It's called Scope 3. And in addition to its operations and supply chains, wow. Send me your thoughts anytime, day or night, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Meet you on the flip side. Was I just on
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The trade envoys from the U.S. and China had their first conversation Thursday since President Biden took office. In a statement, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai said that she and Chinese Vice Premier Liu discussed the Biden administration's worker-centered trade policy and an ongoing review of the U.S.-China trade relationship. Both sides said they look forward to future discussions. And a new poll shows that a majority of Americans agree with the moves that several states have made in ending enhanced federal unemployment benefits. At least 23 states have announced they would opt out of the federal program that provided an extra $300 in weekly unemployment benefits. A Quinnipiac poll released Wednesday showed that 54% of Americans believe that ending the extra payments is the right move, with 38% saying it's the wrong thing to do. State officials who have moved to end the benefits argue that the extra payments have contributed to labor shortages. You're listening to USA Radio News. Italian police have made several arrests in the case of a cable car accident over the weekend. Lance Pry reports.
In a follow-up, Italian police arrested three people Wednesday in the cable car disaster that killed 14 people on Mount Monterone in northwestern Italy. Interrogations revealed workers on Sunday placed a fork-shaped clamp on the emergency brake to deactivate it as a patchwork repair. Without any brakes, witnesses say after the lead cable broke, the cabin reeled back down the hill until it hit a pylon and pulled off the cables, falling 50 feet. The lone survivor, a 5-year-old boy, remains hospitalized. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And AAA says this weekend will be huge for travel. More than 37 million Americans are expected to hit the road over the holiday, a 60% increase from a year ago. However, that is still nearly 6 million fewer travelers than before the pandemic. The travel group notes that the number of travelers may fluctuate, as a surge in COVID cases in an area may cause some to stay home. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Reverend Sidney Smith, he's got such an interesting background. Think about this for a second. He talks about it in his book. Have you ever thought about the possibility that there is life before life? So hang on to that for a second. He went to undergrad school at the University of the District of Columbia. He studied social work and went to graduate school, got a master's degree in human services from Lincoln University. I think this is important. And he was the director of several social services programs in the D.C. metro area, the founder of a shelter for victims of domestic violence, and served as the executive director for 20 years. And for that, we thank him because we see what a problem that is in the United States. And as someone who's from the East Coast and spent a lot of time in D.C., I certainly saw what was happening there. So, Rev, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
The name of the book is The Almighty's Religion for the Universe. So what path led you to writing this book?
The idea that I felt that there had to be something different that humanity had to deal with in order to come to terms or to grips with tranquility, peace, and harmony. And searching out a sense of what it was that needed to be done, I discovered a book called Messages to Mankind from the Almighty and His Spirit. And this led me into a new sense of understanding religion, understanding God, understanding the universe, understanding creation, understanding life. So in the culmination of years of studying this information, I came to want to reveal it to humanity.
Yeah, and putting this book together, I mean, this was a journey. This didn't happen overnight. It took you a while to pull this together, didn't it?
47 years.
Yeah, 47 years of looking, searching, coming up with answers, etc. And you talk about a lot of different things, including what is the law of love? What is the law of love?
The law of love is to share, give, and be compassionate with every human being, or at least try. You know, we cannot say that you have to do it, but we do say that it must be tried to be done. And that's the law. The law is to try and love your fellow man, not to love your fellow man.
But to try. You also talk about heaven and that we'll all go back to heaven and there is no hell. And, of course, there's people that are going to disagree with you on that. Why is there no hell?
Because hell was something made up by man to control man. Even the idea of heaven in the material sense of thinking does not exist. Heaven is the entire universe. Hell does not exist because that is not something that God needs to maintain control over people. He's not going to send you to hell because you do not do this and you do not do that. But if you sin, you have a chance to redeem yourself in the course of life. One does not go to hell. One goes back to the universe and comes back again in the process of reincarnation. Excuse me. The human spirit does not automatically don't exist. It continues to exist. And in the course of this existence, it must travel back to different bodies in order to deal with its development and growth. So there is no hell.
And you know, and again, talking about those themes, another thing that you talk about in the Almighty's Religion for the Universe, which you can get on Amazon, you talk about reincarnation. And that's also kind of a mixed thing with people. Tell us about reincarnation.
Okay, reincarnation is the aspect of one spirit traveling into another body, which is a continual process. There are spirits who are in existence or have been in existence for thousands of years and have traveled from one body to another in the course of one's spiritual development, one's existence. So a spirit does not simply vanish once it dies. The spirit continues to grow and develop in the course of helping the body to grow and develop. The spirit and body work simultaneously together in the course of one's development and growth and understanding and comprehension. We are going through the course of a spiritual life, which is eternal. All spirits are immortal. Spirits are not destroyed.
And and along that same lines of the spirit's not destroyed, you talk about, as going back to the theme of the heaven and hell, you talk about the entire universe. That's, again, this is the title of the book, and this is important. So the entire universe and why our planet exists and why we have life in the universe. And what do you want people to know about that?
Well, the reason why the Almighty created spirits from his spirit, because that's where all spirits come from, was so that we could be helpers with him in helping to develop a paradise in the universe, a paradise on earth, a world in which we could live in harmony and peace and tranquility. But it has to be through our own work, through our own deeds. It's not going to come automatically. God is not going to destroy the world, but neither is he going to save it. We have to do the work ourselves in order to accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live in love. He wants us to live in harmony. But we have to do it. It's not something God is going to automatically give to us by praising him or glorifying him, but by doing the work that it requires.
And do you think that's the big thing that's missing, that people aren't doing the work, that they're sitting, maybe they go to church, they sit in the pews, but they're not doing the work that you're talking about?
Absolutely. Because when we go to church, we're not learning anything. We're just simply doing things repetitively in the course of going to church. What do? We listen to the preacher praise. I mean, excuse me, not praise, but preach. But he's not teaching. He's saying the same things that have been said century after century. He's utilizing a book and taking out of that book verses, chapters, sayings, stories, myths, ideas that are relevant to another time. What was needed 2,000 years ago is not needed today. We need some reality. Reality should be about helping people to understand that we need to go outside of the church to do what is necessary to bring people into the church so that people will live without want, without destitution, without poverty, but live a life that everybody can acquire the basic necessities of life.
And I mentioned, that's why I said in the beginning, I mentioned your work in D.C., so you certainly saw people struggling in your lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. I struggled. I mean, I wasn't born rich.
Yeah. And that's part of that journey of the 47 years, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole course of wanting to do something for the good of humanity, I mean, requires a two. Sacrifice. You have to sacrifice in order for others to accomplish or to achieve what it is that your goals are. My goals are to give to humanity a way by which we can get on a path of learning how to live together as one race, a human race.
Yeah, so well said. And I think that's what you want people, you weave this in the conversation, that's what you want people to take away from reading your book, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you get down to the brass tacks of it, all human beings came from one source. We're all one people. The only thing that changes us is our climatic and environmental conditions. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
If you live in a warmer region or a hot region, you're going to be darker. If you're born in the north or colder region or frigid region, you're going to be lighter. But that doesn't change who you are. We all came from the same source, and therefore we must all understand that we are the same.
Perfect place to end this, The Almighty's Religion for the Universe. You can get it on Amazon. Reverend Smith, thank
and
you for coming
also,
on.
Also, you can go to my website, Supplementology.org. That's SUPPLEMENTOLOGY.org.
Perfect. Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Janiska Boros, PhD, joins us from New South Wales. And boy, what a fascinating background he has. And his science fiction thrillers will take you on, I think, a pretty interesting adventure for sure. And his background, like I said, he's somebody who immigrated or migrated from Hungary to Australia after the Second World War, and he had these ideas that he eventually got in this series of books. Onco is the original, and then you go from there. So, Anthony, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, you're welcome, Kat. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk about your early beginnings and how you had, you know, this rattling around in your head. So you come to Australia, and then what happens to you from there?
Well, coming to Australia as a migrant, I guess you'd have the same sort of similar experiences in America. And in those days, it was not really a very welcoming situation. You already had to battle hard. And you were called the New Australian here by the old Australians, and they're a little bit suspicious of you, and you had to convince them, and you had to work very hard to make a place for you in this society, because, you know, everybody was watching you. Who's this guy? What's he doing here? He's going to displace us in our workplace, in our relationships and so on, and keep them away from our girls, and that sort of thing, you know, that was the attitude. And so it took a while to get over all that, but yeah, a bit of hard work and being genuine about things. Eventually, I got through it, which was great, and I am now a very happy Australian.
I like that. I'm a happy Australian. That's a good thing to say. And you raised five kids.
And you also had a company that constructed a lot of oil gas platforms. What an interesting field to go into. And, you know, there's so much conversation about that now. But I imagine when you started, it's probably much different than it is these days. Is it?
Well, probably not really. I haven't advanced all that much since the early days. So basically, it's just something out in the sea. Where you put a jacket down the sea floor and then you built a platform on top of that. And when you finished all that and done all the pipework and vessels and everything installed, then the drilling crew comes on and they start drilling down towards the bottom and into the bottom and start producing oil or gas or both. And it basically is as much the same principle as it has been for many years.
Yeah. Is that what is your PhD in?
PhD was in engineering.
Yeah, which makes sense with the platforms, etc. That makes sense.
Say again, please.
That makes sense that it's in engineering.
Yes, engineering was, yeah, that's right. So that was the mainstay of my, when I developed into an adult and so on, it was the mainstay of my existence in engineering. And I built many roads and bridges and refineries and you name it, you know, storage tanks and pipelines and
yes,
all those things all over the place.
Yes, you know how to do that stuff. And you know how to turn a phrase and you know how to come up with, like I said, a science fiction thriller. So tell us the very beginnings of Onco and what the story is about, the saga is about.
Well, basically the germination of the Onco concept was I was always interested in biology and so on, and as well as engineering. And as a matter of fact, I did a year of medicine way down the track, but then I got out of that because it was too much working for a living and then studying and then going to uni. So I then went over to engineering, but I was interested in stem cell research and also very much interested in cancer. And then I came to realize that this horrible adversary, the cancer, maybe we can put it to good use. And basically I thought, well, yeah, and cancer can grow into many forms and also into huge sizes and huge quantities. And that was the initiating concept of these books. So I built some adventure around, of course.
And you have a female scientist, Colleen. Tell us about her and the creature that she has to deal with.
Well, Colleen was an actual factual person. She was really a niece of mine. And so the personality was built around a real life person. And she didn't actually create Onco or the entity or the creature. It was this developed through the earlier episodes of the book. So it was Onco and then Onco 2, Onco 3, and then I intend to write a trilogy. And then when I got to 3, I realized there's a lot more to write. So how do I turn the trilogy into something else? So I decided to make it like a tetralogy, add another volume, but how could I call it? I couldn't call it a tetralogy because I already said in the series there's going to be a trilogy. So I decided to call it Onco 3.5.
Yeah, and that fits. It's perfect. And it is very, very intriguing. If people get the books, they follow along in the story, what can they expect? You don't have to give it all away to us, but we've kind of given them a little taste. Or what would you say it's about?
Okay, well, the underlying idea, of course, goes back to world hunger, as I said before, and I was a participant in that agonizing process in my youth. So I thought I'd like to get that out on a public forum, somewhere people might relate to hunger. And if you look around the world at this moment, well, there's plenty of it. Yeah. Wherever you look, wherever you go, and I've been all over the world, wherever you go, you come across hunger one way or another. So I thought I really had the right to write more about this, but the people don't really want to hear too much about the scientific side of it, so I referred it to something else, and there came the science fiction stories.
Yeah, and that's how that was all started. What do you hope people walk away with if they read the Onco books? And you can get them all, by the way, including the latest one on Amazon. What do you hope they take away from reading your novels?
I guess entertainment, but basically, underneath the knowledge that about, and I say the word several times, hunger, which is very relevant in today's world, and I felt that they might take away a little bit of interest in that sort of thing. They can then build it themselves if they wish.
Yeah, boy. A lot to think about, a lot, and it is an entertaining, as you said, entertaining is one of the key things. It is an entertaining series. So, Anthony Janiska, thank you so much, Boris. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. I do appreciate giving me the time to do so.
Wow, so interesting to talk to Anthony, and as we talk to so many of our authors, I really applaud, and I've said this maybe not enough on this show, and this is one of the cool things about talking to writers from all over the place like Anthony, is that, you know, you have this idea, and you set about, I'm going to write a story, I have the inspiration, I'm thinking about something that's got science fiction in it, I've got this idea, I have you know, some things that I've seen in the past that I probably may use in the book, meaning something's influenced me, because it's interesting to find out, and which is why, like I asked the question of Anthony, like, what led you in this direction? Why did you write this book? And what is it about this that made you want to write about it? And to me, that's always one of the more interesting things to explore, because there is so much you can write about, and there's so many things that I think are of interest to lots of us that have those personalities where we are curious about much in life. And the impression I got from Anthony is that there were many things probably that he could have written about, but it was interesting the path that he took, and then that he ended up producing the wonderful book that he did. So I applaud Anthony and so many of the other writers that, like I said, follow through and sit down, come up with the ideas, flush them out, create those characters, open up our minds to different worlds, different ideas, you know, etc. And I thank all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.